That's a sacaroni, baby.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
So international. We did get a call from England. We did get a call from, I think it was Thailand. Where did we get a call from? Was it, no, we were down under. We went down under one time. Yeah, we are international. Man. We got a lot going on here on The Roast. If you need tips on dating, just call The Roast. We got you covered. Shasky's got game. Come on now. Don't shortchange Shasky's from Frisco. He's got Excelsior game. He knows people. Brianna's got game. Spadoni's got game. I know Lubman's got game. Lubman's batting like 350 these days, folks. I'm telling you, man. I've never seen him walk around so confidently.
No, I heard he's like Lamont Wade Jr. His on-base percentage is fantastic.
Late night Lubman?
Late night Lubman.
Wow. The summer of love to late night Lubman.
What's your OPS?
Wow. Late night Lubman.
He's slugging high.
I like that.
He's slugging high.
He's batting cleanup. Damn, you got moved up in the order.
Take a pitch.
Damn. So I don't buy that young guys won't come here. 49ers sign free agents all the time. They got the San Jose. They got Santana Rowe. Campbell. Then when that gets old.
NFL is very different than the NBA and Major League Baseball.
I know it's different.
Season. And that's another thing about the NBA. These guys realize that they're going to be in and out of airplanes and stuff and traveling at all times. So playing in cold weather cities during the winter is usually a no-go.
That's why Cleveland can't sign guys.
Exactly.
That's why Indiana can't sign guys.
Minnesota typically has been a difficult sell.
Yeah, no, they can't sign guys either. So it's always Miami, Houston, New York, L.A., of course.
I've always been surprised Atlanta didn't do better.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I'm surprised too, Atlanta. That's a good call with the Hawks. They're always mediocre.
Like in terms of free agent destinations.
It's a great NBA town. Yeah. It's a great NBA town. But maybe people don't go to Atlanta because they know it's too much trouble.
That's a good point.
If I go there, Lemon Pepper lose every night, Magic City, dollar bills flying in the air. Yeah, you can't live like that. I mean, John Morant's in Memphis. That's why he needs to leave Memphis. Memphis is a 45-minute flight to Atlanta.
Would you take John Morant on the Warriors?
Hell yeah, I would. I'll figure out the rest later.
T. Morant and Bonte Hill.
Ja-Ja's unbelievable. So is Rob Stach Guerrera. He's unbelievable too, especially when it comes to the Niners. Now, I don't remember his bracket poll. He comes out with the media bracket poll. I didn't even realize I was in it. I guess I played Murph. Did I win? Did I advance to any rounds? Rob, how did I do? Last year I made the second round. What did I do this year? Because it came out of nowhere.
You had a respectable showing, but Brad Graham from the SF 49ers is a freaking powerhouse, man. So he took it this year.
Yeah, did he beat? Oh, he took the entire bracket?
He took the entire crown. Wow. He knocked off last year's champ, Eric Crocker.
Wow. Boy, he's got too big time for us, Brad Graham. He's now getting paid. He'll come on our show. Rob, what's happening with Brandon Ayuk? Let's start here. We've been talking draft. It is draft week. I keep coming around to this, Rob. Why would I trade Brock Purdy's most trusted target, a guy who's second in the league in yards per catch? And I get all the financial components, but I'm not buying it. Can't sign Ayuk this year. Maybe stagger some of the money and maybe move off Debo or Hargrave or Kittle next year. I'm just not buying that Ayuk's too expensive. Why would the Niners even entertain that?
I don't think they want to. I think it's going to come down to whether or not they can get Brandon Ayuk to agree to a contract. And Adam Schefter has said that Ayuk's desire to get paid is greater than his desire to stay in San Francisco. So I think it's just they'd love to sign Ayuk, but they have a price in mind. And B.A. thinks he's a top five wide receiver in the league. And I don't know if the 49ers think he deserves top five money.
So, I mean, it feels like to me, if he's going to get traded, they would do it either on draft day or leading up to the draft so they could have something in hand for this upcoming year. Do you feel the same way?
Completely agree with you. In fact, if he gets traded, he may not get traded, you know, until the team he goes to is on the clock so the 49ers don't get leapfrogged. They could wait that long because if you do it now, maybe somebody could leapfrog you and then the guy you want is not there. So if it happens, it may have to be when that particular team is on the clock. but I think it's absolutely on the table right now.
Well, let's play this out then. I'm looking at Washington. They've got the 2 second rounders. You've seen Jaden Daniels and Ayuk posting certain things on Instagram. Daniels posting a picture of him and Ayuk at ASU, and obviously Ayuk and his brother. I don't really know what exactly is going on social media there. They got 2 second rounders. Pittsburgh has the 20th overall pick, and then they have the 51st as well. Carolina's got 2 second rounders. If it wasn't a first, but it was multiple twos or a two and a three, do you think Niner fans would be outraged?
I would be outraged. A.J. Brown went for a first and a third 2 years ago. And if you look at the numbers that they put up in their career to that point, Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown are pretty similar. And the Eagles had to give A.J. Brown a new deal, which is exactly what Ayuk's new team would have to do. So if I'm the 49ers, why am I taking less than, I think it was 18 for A.J. Brown, a first and a third? Why am I going to take less than that for Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Now, do you trust the Niners to maybe move off of Brandon Ayuk and say they've had receivers? Obviously, they drafted Ayuk, they drafted Deebo. They also whiffed on many other wide receivers, including Danny Gray, who doesn't look like a player right now. Trent Taylor's back. We know about Dante Pettis and Jalen Hurd. Do you trust the Niners to be able to recoup on that type of production from you're not just trading Brandon Ayuk, you're trading a good run blocker. You look at McCaffrey's highlights, he's downfield blocking a lot for those long touchdowns for Christian McCaffrey. You talk about a guy who the yards per catch. You talk about over 1,300 yards receiving. How do you make up that type of production? Do you trust a rookie to come in under this regime and just come out of the park and knock it out the park right away? Because no receiver has done that under Shanahan yet.
It's not going to be easy, and we know Kyle Shanahan is incredibly hard on rookie wide receivers, on wide receivers in general. Mohamed Sanu told me that Kyle Shanahan used to show his wide receiver film when Shanahan was at Texas during team meetings. That is just incredible, but it shows you that Kyle Shanahan really thinks he knows how to play the position. He's tough on those guys.
What did he catch,
but
20 passes, Rob, at Texas?
I have no idea.
Dwight Clark only caught about 20 catches at Clemson and went on to have a hell of an NFL career.
That's when wide receivers were still lining up in a three-point stance.
I'm just saying.
Look, the thing to remember is, though, you don't have to – even if you get a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk, you don't have to take a wide receiver in the first round. There are good wide receivers throughout this draft. You can get a first-round pick for Ayuk and strengthen your team in other areas along the offensive line. Maybe you get another defensive back. Maybe you go defensive lineman in the first round. You can strengthen your team in other areas. You don't have to pull the Javon Kinlaw, get a first-round pick, and then immediately draft a replacement with that pick.
What's the number one need for the 49ers in this draft?
I think it's offensive line. I don't know that the 49ers think it's offensive line, but we saw the Super Bowl. I am tired of seeing pass rushers come from the right whenever they need to in a must-pass situation, and they are almost always able to get home. This is a draft. This is a time where your greatest need matches up with the strength of a draft class. If you're the 49ers, I don't think that you can pass that up. Don't outthink the room.
Rob, who's some of the offensive linemen you're looking at if the Niners do go that direction with the number 31st pick, or if they move up or down? Who are some of the linemen you're looking at that could be a fit right away for the Niners?
I know a lot of people are saying Roger Rosengarten. I think you don't have to pick him in the first round.
This guy from Washington, correct?
Correct, yes. I think you can get him later in the draft. He's got all the 49er ties. He was coached by Ed McCaffrey. He's working with Joe Staley right now. We all love that stuff. And I can see the 49ers trying to sell that. Patrick Paul, the tackle out of Houston, is a guy that literally said in an interview recently, "I'm going to go higher than you think. Look for me at the end of the day on Thursday," which we know 49ers picking 30th, so he could be a name possibly. I don't care if it's a center, maybe Powers Jackson, the center from Oregon, or Powers Johnson, excuse me. I wouldn't mind that. Get something, okay? Fix it. How long do we have to wait to get an offensive line that's competent on the right side?
Yeah, I don't know if I love taking the fourth, fifth, sixth best tackle in the first round. I hear you, though, in the middle rounds. I'm with you on that one. To the quarterback, it feels like they're setting everything up for the finances of Brock Purdy, even if it's just for a year or two. And I trust that they'll have outs at this contract that they're going to work up with him, because that's kind of their MO here. They're going to be married to Brock Purdy for at least the next couple of years. Doesn't it feel that way?
Well, when you've got Jed York just blatantly coming out and saying he's ready to pony up the money, it sure feels like that. My question is, what if Brock Purdy gets hurt next year? Does that throw everything into question? Because if he stays healthy and produces like he produced last year, clearly Kyle loves him, so they're going to pay him. To me, the only thing that can derail that is if Brock Purdy gets hurt in 2024.
That's interesting there. Yeah, Jed York coming out, and we're talking Rob Stasguerrera. You know, he came out and said, oh, he's going to reset the quarterback market. It's like, man, we have to say that out loud. It's kind of like John Lynch admitting that he was at Patrick Mahomes' pro day. It's like, boy, we need to rework the whiteboard. Yeah, we don't need to hear that right now, John. Now, looking at Debo's contract here, because it all comes back to Brandon Ayuk and what he's going to do. This offense did average nearly 30 points a game. It was the most dynamic offense, in my opinion, since the Niners last won a Super Bowl back in 94 and 95. So, Debo, moving forward here, Debo's contract. Is there an out after this next season? I believe there's an out with Debo Samuel to which you could pay Debo or pay Ayuk, and then maybe you move on from some guys next season as you give Brock Purdy money. Now, what's the details when it comes to Debo Samuel and his contract alongside George Kittle, if you could fit that in?
So Debo Samuel's deal, if you cut him after 2024, it's a cap hit of $15 million if you do it before June 1st.
Correct.
But if you do it after June 1st, it's only $6.6 million. This is, again, after 2024, right? I'm talking about.
Right.
If you move on from Debo after June 1st this year, the cap hit is $11.3 million. So more than likely, this is probably Debo Samuel's last year with the 49ers, I believe. I think you're going to have to keep Debo around for one more year, make another run at this thing, and then you move on. You don't have to do that, because remember, the Eagles are paying two wide receivers. You don't have to, but if you want to, I think that is the best time financially to do it. George Kittle, you got to wait till after this year. You're not going to move on from George Kittle.
Right, no doubt.
So play this year, and then if you move on from George Kittle after next year, it's $20 million to cap it. Because remember, they've restructured Kittle a couple
multiple
of times.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to stick around for at least 2024 and 2025. And then who knows?
I mean, well, what about McCaffrey? Like, I keep coming back to McCaffrey, and the reason why is, like, I know there's the running back market, but he's not your average running back, and what he means to this team is significantly more than really anyone else in the league. And you're going to have Debo, potentially Ayuk, and Kittle making about, if not more, than what he's making. I mean, the two wide receivers make double what he's getting. Don't you think they're going to do something with McCaffrey at some point to give him something? I just don't see him standing pat on this $14 million the next 2 years. I feel like they're going to do something with him, and that's kind of not been talked about.
Yeah, so I looked it up before I came on, and I was like, wait, Christian McCaffrey's making what? Like, he is a steal right now for the 49ers. His cap hit is $14 million this year. It's $14 million next year. That is absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a really interesting question because we all saw how he unlocked the offense when he arrived, whether it was Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it was Brock Purdy. He's going to be 28 this year. He'll be 29 in 2025. And then you got to decide what you want to do with him. And how much money do you want to pay to a 30-year-old running back? Now, I know he said, you know, he's durable and his other injuries were not due to overuse and blah, blah, blah. But the history of the NFL says otherwise. So that is a massive, massive decision for the 49ers to make after 2025.
Yeah, I wouldn't budge. I wouldn't, like, if McCaffrey's not saying nothing about the money, I'm not going to say anything about the money. And I love Christian McCaffrey. I'm all about players getting their bag. But I'm kind of with you there, Rob, because a lot of the conversation last year, remember, midway through the year, oh, McCaffrey's touching it too much. We need more Elijah Mitchell. We need more Jordan Mason. You saw the offense when McCaffrey stepped off the football field. It was pedestrian at best. He unlocks everything, like you said, Rob. So what do you think happens? What is your final verdict? Is Ayuk getting moved before the draft or during the draft?
I don't think Brandon Ayuk is going to get moved because ultimately the 49ers don't want to move him. They want to keep him. And I don't know if the 49ers are going to get an offer that they see is good enough to get them to move off of Brandon Ayuk. And the 49ers have the leverage. He's on the fifth-year option. They could franchise him 2 years if they wanted to. So I think unless the 49ers get blown away, he's not going anywhere, and I don't think anybody's going to do it.
All right, there it is. Rob Stasguerrera, of course, Stats on Fire, Gold Standard Network, 49ers, always kind to us here on the Morning Roast. Rob, take care, man. Thanks for joining us on such short notice.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.